Well, this Sunday is Father's Day, a day when the world acknowledges the significance of fathers in family life. Now, isn't it interesting that fatherhood still rates a mention in a world that in many other ways is seeking to downplay the significance of the male figure in providing vital leadership in the home, the church, and the community? In the past, I have been not really recognising Father's Day in a worldly sense, because since I became a Christian, I always believed, and I still do, that every Sunday is Father's Day, my Heavenly Father's Day. And I want to be with him. I want my family to be with him. I want us to join with others who are brothers and sisters born of the Spirit in the presence of our Father. So Father's Day has been every Sunday. But today I want to say that being a father is such an important calling to receive from God. If you're a father, God has called you to be something so significant. Perhaps it's one of the highest callings that you can receive from God, because you are called to reflect his character. You see, God is Father. In the prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father, Jesus says in John 17 that this is eternal life, that a person comes to know God and the true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, Jesus had just spoken to the disciples in that period before his death in Jerusalem. He has said to them, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Do you know, one of the most significant revelations that Jesus comes to show us is that God is Father. The passion of Jesus Christ as he lives in this world is to reunite you and me to his Father. He lives for this purpose here on earth. He dies on the cross with that passion in his heart to restore God's people to himself as their Father. Now, true fatherhood can only be understood and known by getting to know Jesus. Everything Jesus does and says is to make his Father known to us. Everything Jesus does. He says, "I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. Every word that I speak is a word given to me from my Father." The Father and Jesus are one, he says. Well, I'm very thankful that right on this day, Father's Day, we just happen to be working through the Gospel of Luke here at St. Andrews and St. Cuthbert's, and we've arrived at this particular story that Jesus told about a father and two sons. And Lamb brought beautifully to us last Sunday the heart of the Father for this son that went off into the far country, who chose his own life and ended in disaster. But when he came to himself, when he had reached rock bottom, when he realized his desperate need, he turned back to his Father. And he was willing to be a hired servant in his Father's house, because he began to reflect on his Father's character. You know, the Father had given him everything he asked. You know what he had said, as Lamb pointed out? This was culturally absolutely against the flow for a young son to ask his father for his inheritance before his father had died. He was virtually telling his father, I wish you were dead. I want the money. And yet his father had freely given it all to him. This is the heart of the Father Jesus is seeking to convey to us. And of course he went off and used all those resources that the Father had given him in his own way and squandered them and ended up in a mess. But when he began to reflect upon his father's character, even the hired servants in his father's house were cared for, he realized, oh no, if I go back to my father, maybe he'll accept me as one of his servants and I'll still be looked after. Well, as we know, he went on that journey home, and that lovely memory verse we had last week, when the father sees him from a distance, when he realizes his son has turned back, he's repenting, he's coming to acknowledge that he was wrong. The father is running out to him. Jesus is telling us this, that God is waiting in heaven for you and I to realize we are at rock bottom, that we need to return to him broken and confessing our sin. Well, Jesus tells us the Father will come running to us. And what does he say? He'll throw his arms around us, embrace us and kisses us. This is what Jesus, the Son of God, is telling about his Father in relation to you and me. Well, that story, as the father embraces his son and his son confesses, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Do you know, when you come to that point in your life where you see that is your genuine state and you're broken and you're willing to confess, you will find a heavenly father who throws his arms around you and who weeps with you and who kisses you and embraces you. This is the God who created the universe. This is his character. Well, that was the story for last week, of course. And this week we move on to the last section of this story, which, of course, Jesus is telling this story with an audience. He has the tax collectors and sinners, those who are regarded as the lost, the wayward, the people who've entered into indulgences of all kinds. And then he's got the Pharisees and the scribes who are regarded as, you know, the upright, the religious ones, the ones who are going to church every Sunday. But he's trying to convey to all of these people the same message. He's not exclusively trying to favour the tax collectors and sinners, and he's not rejecting the Pharisees and the scribes. He's trying to impart to all those people one thing, the character of his Father. He wants them all to realise their need to see the truth about their Father in heaven. So he goes on in the story of, as we read it in the scriptures today. The older son here in verse 25 was in the field. What was he doing in the field? Well, he was working hard, wasn't he? He was working for his father. He was laboring there and building up a sweat, tiring himself out, thinking, I'm going to serve my father. I'm going to do good for him. You know, if I do enough good for him, he's bound to reward me with good things. Maybe that's the way you think of God. If you do enough good, he'll favour you and grant you blessings. Well, here was his older son doing that very thing. He was in the field. He came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. Music and dancing? What is that? He was awakened by this. It was unusual to him. You know, music and dancing. joy and delight. This son did not know these things. He could have known them. In fact, his life could have been full of them. But he didn't know them because he thought that he needed to earn them. He needed to do enough to enter into the joy of these things. And he comes to the house, he calls one of the servants. Notice he calls a servant. He didn't call his father. His closest relationship was not really his father. He calls one of the servants and asks, what are these things? And the servant says, your brother has come. As Lamb brought out in the children's talk, you know, your brother, they're celebrating his birthday. So corrupt is the human heart that jealousy lurks at every corner, waiting to compare with others what they are getting and I'm not getting. And this brother, is he pleased that his brother has returned from, well, certainly not. He says, the servant says, your father's killed a fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. There's joy in the servant's voice. There's a sense of, we need to celebrate. Your brother's come home. And what's the response of this older son? He was angry. He refused to go in. Why was he angry? Because he was about to tell his father, well, I've labored for you and served you and done all the good things for you and you've given me nothing. Do you know why the father had not been giving the fattened calf to his older son? Well, hear what the father says. He was angry. He refused to go in. His father comes out and entreats him. He answered his father, look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. You see, he was thinking that the father would give him something because of what he did. And Jesus is desperately trying to impart the truth about his father to this audience that he has before him, the religious leaders and the tax collectors and the sinners. What is the father's heart for them? Well, we read it in the memory verse for today. As Lamb chose it, the father goes on to tell him, But the son has come back. I'm sorry. The elder son says, your son has come back and devoured your property with prostitutes. Sinned. You killed a fattened calf for him. And then the father says to him, in verse 31, the father says to him, son, you're always with me. And all I have is yours. Why didn't the elder son have the riches of fattened calf and celebration? Because he never asked his father. He always thought he needed to deserve what he received. And Jesus is trying to say emphatically that we do not receive what we deserve. For if we did, we would all go to hell. His Father is the most generous, loving, forgiving, gracious Father there is. And all he wants from us is that we believe in his character and we ask him humbly for what we need. And even for things we don't need but we want to celebrate, he will not deny. You see, The Father heart of God is the thing that Jesus longs us to embrace. Do you know, during his earthly ministry life, Luke records particular moments when God reveals himself quite profoundly to people who are gathered around the Lord Jesus. At his baptism in the Jordan River, Luke records this. When all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, notice this. Luke records, I love Luke's gospel because he, at both times, both on the Mount of Transfiguration and here, baptism in the Jordan River, he particularly tells us that Jesus was praying when he was baptized and on the mountain, and when he prayed, when he asked his Father, something happened from heaven. He tells us this. Jesus also had been baptized. When he was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. There was the Father throwing his arms around his son. Embracing him. And kissing him. And declaring he loved him. Now, my friends, as you are listening to this service today, you need this experience of God yourself. If Jesus Christ lived on earth, the Son of God, he needed to hear his Father speak audibly to him that he loved him in front of all the crowd. Do you think you need it? Of course you need it. You need to know there is a Father in heaven who loves you so much, he would declare it to you. Well, this not only happens here. Luke records in chapter 9 the transfiguration story. As Jesus takes Peter, James and John up the mountain, he goes up the mountain and he tells us this. 8 days after these day sayings, he took Peter, James and John and went up the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, notice again, he tells us he's praying. What is he doing? He's communicating with his Father in heaven. Are you doing this? Are you taking time to communicate with your Father in heaven? Are you going into your secret place? Are you imploring him? Are you seeking him with all your heart? Because if you do, you'll find him. Here we have this story. He is praying on the mountain. And as he was praying, Luke tells us, his appearance was changed. Do you want your appearance to be changed? Do you want your character to be transformed, released? Well, Jesus is telling us he is going to die on a cross to make it possible for you to have the same intimate relationship with his Father that he had. That's his passion. That is the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ comes into the world to make it possible for you and me to have an intimate relationship with a Father in heaven. And here we hear this. His appearance was changed and altered. His clothing shone. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. Now, of course, Peter, James and John, they saw this. And then in verse 35 of chapter 9 of Luke, it says, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son. My chosen one. The intimacy, the affirmation, the arms again wrapped around the Lord Jesus from his Father in heaven, affirming who he was, affirming his purpose. Do you need that? Well, Jesus is telling this crowd about a young son and an older son. And both of them failed to recognize in their lives the true character of their father. One of them finally did, and turned back to him and was overwhelmed by his love. And that is the message Jesus wants you to know in this story. His Father is just waiting to receive you, to embrace you, to declare his love for you. If only you would realize that it's your sin that is separating you from him, and only as you come humbly acknowledging that it's your sin that has made a separation between you and your God, your Father. And as you come like the youngest son, confessing your sin, you are going to find a Father who will run to you, who will embrace you, who will kiss you, who will declare his love for you. Now, many of us in this world have suffered from a false understanding of fatherhood. Some of us have had fathers who were godly, but even they, like me, not that I claim to be godly in any way, but God's true people, we're still failures in different ways. In fact, I've said to many fathers, the most important thing you can do as an earthly father to your children is when you sin, you go and confess your sin to them, and then they will know you are not perfect. There is only one who is perfect, and he's your Father in heaven. And if you want to be a good earthly father, remember when you stumble, when you make mistakes, you go to your children and you acknowledge those mistakes. But there are others who lived in this world and have suffered enormously from fathers who've been angry and absent and distant and abusive, who've rejected them. Well, this is not in any way a true reflection of the fatherhood of God. Many people have an image of Father God which is rooted in their experience or lack of experience of their earthly father. They've dressed God in another person's clothes. Well, I want you today to take those clothes off your views of God and listen to the Lord Jesus in this story. Listen to him speak of his Father. The Father that he goes to the cross and dies so that you and I could be united with him. And what does he say on the cross? What does he say when he is dying there on the cross? Father, forgive them. Receive them. Let them come to you, Father. And he dies for us. This is the good news. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message we are to take to the world, that there is a Father who loves you, who sent his Son to die for you, and he wants you restored to him in intimacy. He wants you to know him, put his arms around you, and express his love for you. This is the good news of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul knew this so well. He had experienced this again and again and again. And when he comes to write a letter to his Christian friends in Ephesus, of course, we have this most magnificent prayer, which I would encourage every one of you to pray for yourself and to pray for your brothers and sisters. This prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, what does Paul say here? For this reason, because of the things I've shared with you today, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that is an expression of the Father's love for you and me. For if anyone has seen me, said Jesus, he has seen the Father. The Father's heart is poured out on that cross to draw us back to himself. Yes, this love surpasses knowledge. It is something only the Spirit of God, as we pray, as we seek, as Jesus prayed, can reveal to us deeply in our inner being. And the outcome of this, Paul tells us, you may be filled with the fullness of God. And then he ends it with this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. To the older son, the father is trying to tell him, I would do more than you even ask or think. You are always with me, and all that I have is yours. According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the gospel message. Today, God wants you personally to know him as your Father, a Father who loves you with such immense love that he would say to you, my son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Amen.